The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
It's a moment for the country of Egypt. Former President Hosni Mubarak arrived by helicopter this morning to a Cairo court built especially for these proceedings. It's his historic trial on charges of corruption and ordering the killing of nearly 900 protesters during the uprising in February. Mubarak ruled Egypt for almost three decades. He stepped down after 18 days of massive protests. And joining us now, Thanasi Kambanis. He's the author of A Privilege to Die, Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel. And he's just returned from 5 weeks reporting in Egypt, where he's writing on the country, Egypt, after Mubarak. Good morning, Thanasi.
Good to be with you, Celeste.
So help us understand here in the United States what kind of moment this is for Egyptians. Those standing outside this courtroom and seeing their former president appearing on television behind a cage inside a courtroom.
It's one of these unbelievable historical reversals. I mean, the title Mubarak preferred was Father of the Nation, and he really treated Egyptians as in a sort of regal and also patronizing way, as all of them being his children and often as being his property. So people really doubted that he would ever actually get in the dock. People thought at the last minute there'd be a postponement, or that he might refuse to attend and show an absentia or claim some kind of illness. So it was a shock, really, to find him at the last minute. And the theatrics are incredible. This man is in a hospital bed inside a cage, inside a courtroom that's in the police academy. And it really, I think, defied the already outsized expectations that have risen up since the revolution that overthrew him in January.
Now, why don't you take a listen to a protester who was on the streets during the uprising earlier this year, and she spoke to the BBC.
I don't think anyone has any illusions at the moment that the trial would actually be a real, fair trial. We're all waiting to see what's going to happen.
Is that the general sentiment in Cairo right now, that this isn't going to be a real trial?
Well, look, the judiciary retained some of its independence and integrity over the 30 years of Mubarak's rule, but it was tainted and corrupted like all the institutions of state. The judge who's really responsible for overseeing the entire process of indictments and assigning judges to cases is someone who owes his position to Mubarak. And many of the judges in the system whitewashed crimes during the regime and covered up abuses of power and abuses of the law. So there's every reason to question whether the judiciary is going to perform according to the rule of law. Now, on the other hand, there is some precedent for real and fair trials, and there are certainly many judges who aren't Mubarak loyalists. So the real question in my mind, yes, is one question is, will there be a fair trial? The more likely problem to arise is, will there be a shoddy or expedient trial, or, will he be tried only for the only for the crime of killing protesters in January and February, and not for the 30 years of systemic torture, corruption, and other crimes that were part and parcel of his regime.
Well, why would that be a worst-case scenario to a certain extent? Isn't it the killing of protesters that carries a death sentence with it?
Well, of course, the killing of protesters is a very important crime in the public's eye, but let's not forget it was the excesses of his 29 years of rule that drove people to the streets in the first place, and those alleged crimes that were involved in his rule are a big part of reckoning with that legacy and moving on from it. So if in the end all Mubarak is tried for are the crimes of the police during his overthrow, then in a sense that gives a blank check for Mubarak's successors to continue the practices of the way he ruled.
We're speaking with Thanasi Kambanis, author and reporter, just returned from 5 weeks reporting in Egypt, writing a book about the country after Mubarak. And let me ask you about that. At this point, a lot of the things that we've heard coming out of Egypt seems relatively chaotic. There's no real leader of the country, no a confirmed leader of the country. And at this point, there's still massive protests going on in Tahrir Square over separate issues. What is the country shaping up to be right now?
Well, I mean, first of all, in some ways, sad truth is that there is a clear leader of the country, and it's Field Marshal Tantawi, the head of the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, who was Mubarak's defense minister. So there's been complete continuity of de facto leadership in that the military council that existed under Mubarak inherited in power the day he stepped down and has ruled with complete power. Now, they have not done a very good job. Even if their goal is to keep power, they've been inconsistent and wavering. They've been somewhat arbitrary. They've reversed course repeatedly, especially in the face of large popular protests. And the other thing that's been going on is a sort of, I would call it a PR war between the military junta and the demonstrators. Now, the military tries to portray Egypt as out of control. Egypt's on the brink, they say, because of these ongoing protests. The economy is in a meltdown and there's no security. The protesters say, hey, you know, the military is huge. It's still in control. If there's any problem with the economy, it's inherited from Mubarak. If there's any problem with security, it's because police are refusing to go back on the streets and because the military is not doing its job well. But there's certainly a perception in the mind of some sort of middle-of-the-road Egyptians that their country is in a free fall. But when I'm out reporting, actually, people I talk to, even people who don't support the revolution, say, look, we know things aren't that bad. You know, we've been suffering economically for years. And we also expect with the transition away from Mubarak to have a couple of fuzzy years or a couple of lost years, and that's just a fair price to pay.
Let me ask you, Thanasi Kambanis, if Hosni Mubarak walks free, if this trial doesn't convict him and land him in prison, is that a devastating blow for the country?
I think Egyptians who support the revolution will be enraged. I think there's also the possibility he dies of his illnesses during a trial. And I think finally there's a possibility not that he walks, but that he's given some kind of suspended sentence. And that, I think, too, will make people furious and perhaps rekindle the kinds of protests we saw in January.
So prison or nothing for Egypt. Thanasi Kambanis is author of A Privilege to Die, Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel. And he's just returned from 5 weeks reporting in Egypt, writing a new book on the country post-Mubarak. Thanasi, thank you so much.
Great, thank you.
The trial of former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak began today at a makeshift court in Cairo.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.